So we're talking about judging others. This is something that people in the West love to talk about. Non-judgmentalness. And if you're non-judgmental, then you are in the highest of levels. Well, there's truth, like everything, there's truth to it. And there's also, there's a fallacy attached to it. So moral equivalence is absolutely beyond the pale from a Torah perspective. In other words, suggesting that what's right and what's wrong should be considered or held in the same common esteem is definitely wrong, because the Torah has a specific code of what is right and what is wrong. The Torah is very specific about it. So it would be impossible or incongruous for a person to say, who are you to judge? And because who are you to judge, whatever one does or doesn't do is actually considered to be equal. That's not the case. So what does real non-judgmentalism mean? From a Torah perspective, the notion of not judging others, which is appropriate, what does it mean? Now, Alter Rebbe explained, it does not mean to look at actions which are wrong, which are against what the Torah says, and to say they're right, because who am I to judge? What it does mean is that when I look at somebody else, forget objectively speaking, there's a right and there's a wrong. But when I look at somebody else and condemn that person and say, how could that person do that? That's horrible, that's terrible, I would never do it. Alter Rebbe says, don't be so sure. You're not necessarily in a position to judge that individual. You can speak about something which is objectively speaking wrong, but you also have to acknowledge that it's quite possible that you fall short in your Avedas Hashem as well. So what do you mean? That person is eating pork. That person is violating Shabbos. That person is doing a whole slew of things which the Torah prohibits. And I'm not. Yeah, that's true. However, we have to look at everybody in their circumstances and in their reality. And in their frame, in their setting. And then we can see whether or not you're serving Hashem appropriately or not. Now, previously, the Alter Rebbe discussed the concept of serving Hashem in a positive sense. What are you doing? Are you wrestling with your Yetzirah, with your evil inclination, with your own slothfulness or pridefulness, with your own arrogance or unwillingness to work hard when it comes to your davening right? Are you expending energy on Torah study? Are you giving beyond what's easy for you to give? These are real questions to ask. And Alter Rebbe essentially illustrates the likelihood that you're probably not exhausting all your possibilities or firing all of your cylinders when it comes to any of those things. So how could you judge somebody else? You're judging them for failing their test, but you may be failing your test as well. And here, Alter Rebbe takes it in a very interesting direction. Up until now, we've discussed lack of service, lack of full dedication, when something was missing insofar as asei toiv, doing good, is concerned. You weren't expending the fullest effort. You weren't dedicating yourself 100%. Yeah, but you say that person is actually doing something bad. And in mystical or spiritual terminology, by doing something bad, that person is connecting themselves to klipa v'sitra achra, to a dark energy, to a toxic energy, which literally dismantles and disintegrates the soul. So the Alter Rebbe now continues in Perek Lamed in the 30th chapter, and he says, "V'afilu bebechinas sur meira," and even when it comes to what is couched in Tehillim terminology as avoidance of evil, meaning there's things which the Torah says are bad and toxic, you're supposed to avoid them, turn away from them, as David HaMelech says, "Sur meira v'asei toiv," turn away from bad and do good. So we talked up until now about Asei Toiv. Now we're going back, we're rolling it back even to Sur Meira. V'afilo b'b'china Sur Meira. Says the Alter Rebbe, Yochel kol ish maskil. Here he's not talking to ordinary people. You need to be an intuitive person. You need to be an insightful person. You need to be a person who has the ability to see things from a bigger perspective, not to be stuck in a narrow frame. That's an ish maskil. So the ish maskil, the highly intelligent person, can carefully look at his own life, limtze b'nafshe, he can find within his own self, she'ein nisar legamri mehara, that he too is also not avoiding evil in the fullest sense. Ba'koil mikoil koil. Very interesting terminology, which is used first in the Torah with regard to Avraham Avinu. It says, v'hashem berech es Avraham ba'koil mikoil koil. God bless Avraham Avinu with everything you possibly want. Over there, Rashi tells us it means even having children, even having progeny. But the notion of bako mikol ko, as a rule, is inclusive of everything. And here is why sur meira, or avoidance of evil, in this particular narrative comes second. Because when we're talking about somebody doing something wrong, somebody is eating something they shouldn't eat, marrying somebody they shouldn't marry, going somewhere they shouldn't go, doing something they shouldn't do. And you look at that and say, it's terrible. I can't believe they would do that. I'm disgusted. This is horrible. It's an outright violation of God's Torah, and I'm just, you know, I condemn that out of hand. The Rebbe came along to you and said, I understand you don't do those things. You're not doing anything terrible. But let's think about this for a moment. In order for that person to reject this individual that he or she fell in love with or is excited about, or this path of activity which is now open before them, and they have this dazzling kind of future and an amazing career, and it's going to require a little bit of forgetting about Shabbat for 6 months, but they're planning to come back to Shabbat later. It's just like, you know, they have this career opportunity that's once in a lifetime. So it's what we call a big nisayon. It's a big test. Avraham Avinu had big tests. He passed his tests, but not everybody passes their test. And you're saying, I can't believe the person didn't pass that test. Why didn't he pull himself together and overcome the challenges that the Yetzer Hara is strewing in his path? And Alter Rebbe said, you know, when it comes to tests, you may not be scoring 100 either. Because you had this battle with your Yetzer Hara. But the battle with your Yetzer Hara was that you were getting distracted, and you were looking here and there and not really focusing on davening. You could have battled that Yetzirah. You could have overcome that test. You could have davened with the full assiduousness and the full dedication and full devotion. You chose not to. So you didn't pass your test either. But there, it's not something I did wrong. They're doing something wrong. Al Tadab is kind of saying, okay, let's not talk about the particulars, the fact that they're doing something wrong and you're not doing anything wrong. Let's talk about the fact that you're not doing something right. And the common denominator is the fight with the Yetzer Hara, overcoming the Nisayon, overcoming the test of the challenge. Now the Alter Rebbe says, you want to know the truth? When it comes to avoiding things which are bad, toxic, and evil from a Torah perspective, you're also failing. I'm failing? You must be kidding. I have a perfect Orthodox checklist. Kosher food, check. Mezuzahs, check. Shabbat, check. I'm doing everything right. The Alter Rebbe says, don't be so sure. Because sometimes there are subtle things which are wrong. If you have to ask yourself the honest question, is this behavior right or wrong? You say, well, it's not a big sin, it's a small sin. Maybe, but is it right or wrong? Is what Hashem wants or not? And you're going to have to acknowledge, not, I shouldn't do that. Well, if you shouldn't do it, and you are doing it, how did it happen? You failed the test. You didn't do what Hashem wanted you to do. So you're also failing. So you can't really judge the other person. You could say, objectively speaking, that is wrong, but who am I to judge that individual? So when it comes to staying away from bad, staying away from evil, maybe when it comes to bakol mikol kol, which is this very broad, inclusive kind of reality, which is every possible nuance of life, are you exhausting all possibilities and are you avoiding all pitfalls? So there is sometimes, b'makim shetzarech l'mecham ha'atzuma, there's a time when a person would be asked to do something or avoid something, and it requires tremendous strength. And you know what? It could be that what was asked of you was less difficult than what was asked of them. It could have been a smaller challenge. You failed in that challenge, and you're so quick to judge that person for not overcoming their bigger challenge. Who puts you in the driver's seat? Who allows you to be so judgmental? So the ish maskil, you have to be really intelligent here. Because if you get technical people will not get this. They'll say, well, here's a sin A, and you're suggesting that I perform sin A? Where do you find sin A in my life? I said, well, can't find sin A in your life. Okay, so what do you want from me? All that I said, okay, let's be an ish maskil here. Let's be really intelligent. Let's not see the technicalities, but rather let's see behind them. Let's see past the facade. Past the facade, you could be in a situation where you could have been expected to stop doing something and you didn't. And here's something which every one of us fail at. And in today's day and age with social media, we fail at it not only verbally, but maybe with a click or swipe of a finger. La hafsik be'emtza sicha no. You're having this great conversation. You're having a really juicy piece of information, whatever it means. It's as good. Like you need to hear this. This is so good. You're gonna, and then you remind yourself, like, I'm really not supposed to be speaking about that. That's not really appropriate. Does Hashem want that right now? Ask yourself the honest question. Is this a mitzvah or not? is this an act of avodas Hashem, or is this maybe dvarim betelim? Maybe it's just empty, pointless speech, or maybe even worse. Ask yourself that question. And if you have the integrity and honesty to say, well, no, it's not what Hashem wants, why'd you stop? Why didn't you stop? So you know how hard that is? You're in a conversation with people and somebody says something and you say something and the conversation is great, they're having so much fun, and like you want to be the wet blanket? So it was hard? Oh, it's huge, so hard. No, the Rebbe says, when that person had a hard challenge, you seemed to poo-pah, it didn't make a difference. You were so quick to judge. Same thing. There's a story I once heard about my great uncle, Oliver Solon, the famous Rabbi J.J. Hecht, I give you the Hecht. He was actually, he was in Toronto for a wedding. And there was one of these Hasidic leaders was at this wedding. And it came time to make Sheva Brachas at the end of the wedding. And somebody said, where's this Rebbe, this Hasidic leader? So somebody said, he's seeing some people now. They set up a ad hoc kind of like, you know, situation where he's now receiving some guests. So we're going to wait till he finishes. Now we're going to do the Sheva Brachas. So my uncle said, what do you mean? I said, it's a wedding. This is like, you know, it's a wedding. You have to go and interrupt him. Like, there's a chasen and kala. They're the main actors tonight. Like, so the attendant or secretary of this fellow said, business comes before pleasure. So that was like so strange. Business with like, because people give contributions or whatever. Business, like, what is this? He was like very much like, put off by it. Like, he couldn't get over that. That's a Rebbe business. So anyway, he was back in New York the next day, and at Mincha, the Rebbe used to come out to Mincha at 3:15. So he was in the hall, the main foyer of 770. The Rebbe would go from his office across the foyer to Mincha. And he went over to the Rebbe, I guess to give a quick report of what happened here in Toronto. And he said, Yivolt Nishgi Gleipt, he tells the Rebbe. And he starts telling the Rebbe about this Rebbele, and he went out, and he was taking guests, and he, business before pleasure. And the Rebbe looked at him very sharply and said, if I would know you're going to tell me Lashon Hara, I never would have stopped to speak to you. Mm-hmm. Now, Yankel Hecht could take like, the Rebbe would speak to him very, very sharply, very forcefully. But the point is that, like, what could be wrong with that? You know, he's like, he felt close to the Rebbe and he's telling the Rebbe, it's Lashon Hara. There's no reason to say that. Nothing is to be gained by repeating a story like that. It doesn't make anybody more spiritually minded. It doesn't create any greater dedication to Hashem. It just makes somebody look bad. And that's actually pointless. How many times are we guilty of this? Forget during the course of a week, the course of a day, course of an hour. How many times are we guilty of this? We all know the answer. Oy sipur begnus chaveri, which I just talked about. Speaking about somebody in a disparaging way. But it's so much fun. And it makes you feel better. Because you put them down, automatically, I'm lifted up. We do this all the time. So whether you demean somebody, well, I'm not demeaning them, I'm just demeaning their behavior, or what they said, or what they did. My friends, same thing. Vafilu gnai katan, even if it's the smallest act of demeanment. Af hu shu emes, even though it's true. Vafilu, and even it's kadei lenakes atzme, you're just cleansing yourself, so to speak. You're being accused of something. You said, that's not true, I didn't do it. Kenoida, there's an amazing story that's told that Rabbi Shimon told his father, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Shimon Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the redactor of the Mishnah. So the Gemara tells a story that Rabbi Yehuda saw a get, a bill of divorce, which has to be written very precisely. And he saw, and he said, who wrote this? Now, it was kosher, b'di'evet. There's some things in halacha which, if it's done, it's still kosher, but it wasn't the way it was supposed to be done. It was things inappropriate. And the truth is, the Gemara says anybody who's not an expert on marriages and divorce should have nothing to do with it. Unfortunately, people have this fetish. They love to perform marriages, even though they don't know what they're doing. It drives me personally crazy. But like, so you're supposed to avoid it if you don't know what you're doing. Anyway, bottom line is, Rabbi Yehuda accuses his son. He says to his son, what is with you? How did you write a get like this? So he said, no. He said, lo no kasve. I didn't write it. Yehuda Chaita, this Yehuda the tailor, I didn't do it. There's a guy called the tailor. He wrote, he's the one who wrote it. But Amar Lei, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi responded sharply to the son. He said, Kalech Milashon Hara, avoid Lashon Hara. You didn't have to say who wrote it. You just could have said, I didn't write it. But you know, that's like, there's no alibi. I didn't write it. He said, no, I didn't do it. Somebody else did it. After all Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was doing, what Shimon was doing, was just simply protecting his own integrity. His father said to him, how could you do this? He said, I didn't do it. And his father said, that's Lashon Hara. Mm-hmm. So you should have been on top of your game. And things like this Mili d'shchicha tuva, things that happen all the time. Ubefrat b'inyin kadosh lekadosh atzmo u'mutalei. The truth is that a person is supposed to serve Hashem even in the arena or area where things are supposed to be done in a better way. You're supposed to say it's permissible. It's not an infraction or violation of Torah, but I should aim higher. I should do more. Kadesh atzmacha, sanctify myself, b'mutter, in the areas that are permitted. Which this is, according to many opinions, shehu midei Raisa. And some maintain from the way the Alter Rebbe says that the Alter Rebbe also agrees with those of shame that it is biblical. Kamishu kasav, like it says, kedoshim to you. So a person should be holy, and he wasn't as holy as he should be. He was a glutton. He ate more than he should have eaten. It was kosher. I made a bracha before. I said berachat hamazon after. I even davened later on with the energy I got from it. I just didn't need that. I went for more than was necessary.
Can
that's also
talk
a violation.
About himself?
Can a person talk about themselves?
Yeah, is that?
You're not allowed to say lashon hara by yourself either.
On your own.
You're not supposed to say lashon hara by yourself either. Okay. So what's to be gained from it? Sometimes people simply they speak about themselves. They absolve their guilt. Ach, I'm such an idiot. I did this, that, or the other thing. And somehow they feel better because at least they talk about themselves. There's a famous story with the Chafetz Chaim that he once was driving in a wagon. They saw somebody and they said, where are you going? I'm going to the famous Chafetz Chaim. He said, come in the wagon. I'm going to his house also. And the guy starts talking about the Chafetz Chaim. He's such an amazing rabbi and his writings are widely known and I have such reverence for him and he inspired people not to talk Lashon Hara. And Chafetz Chaim says, trust me, he's not such a special guy. I know the man. Whatever. And the guy got angry. He said, how dare you speak about the Chafetz Chaim like that? And he says, listen, the truth is the truth. Anyway, this man got so angry, he slapped the Chafetz Chaim in the face. How dare you speak about this great rabbi, this holy man? What happens? He comes into the house, and he realizes that was the Chafetz Chaim. And he wanted to hang himself, you know? Chafetz Chaim said, no, relax, thank you. You taught me an important lesson. One is not supposed to speak Lashon Hara, even about themselves. So to put yourself down for no reason, there's also nothing to be accomplished from it. And this is even if it's only rabbinic. According to many of the Rishonim, it's biblical. But even if it's only rabbinic, divrei seferim chamurim divrei Torah. Sometimes the words of the sages have to be...
Biblical sources not to embarrass your fellow Jew? Is that the source?
No. Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara.
Oh, Lashon Hara.
Lashon Hara.
Oh, okay.
So even if this kadesh atzmacha, of making yourself, hallowing yourself, in areas of permissibility, even if that's not biblical, even if it's rabbinic, even then, you have to go beyond the call because kadosh atzmacha b'mutalach, if it's the rabbanon, if it's rabbinic, it's chamurim divrei sefer. We have this concept. The Gemara says that the words of the sages have to be taken with even greater integrity. Like the Alter Rebbe says that certain things Hashem wanted to prohibit, but he wanted us to figure that out. Our sages, our rabbis should figure it out, but ultimately, it's what Hashem wants. So therefore, the upshot of all this is, don't judge anybody. As one wise person once said, when you point a finger at somebody, you should realize you're pointing four at yourself. And this is the true meaning of non-judgmentalness. And that's what we should all aspire to. Okay.